Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in Friday edition of the Hoosier Report underway. High school football continues tonight. Sectional semifinal round across the state. We'll talk about that some. And, of course, IU football playing their first Friday game that I can remember. Excited to see if Indiana can get the big win tonight as they look to take a step forward in bowl eligibility and bounce back after three straight losses for IU football. They definitely need a win. A bowl is still very capable for this team, but it's a Friday night game. It conflicts with high school football. I just don't like the feel of Friday night games. IU on the road at Minnesota. We'll talk about that some today as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got Hoosier Headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Our headlines today, we'll talk a little bit about the Minnesota game. We'll talk about the pairings and the storylines surrounding some of the sectional football semifinal games tonight. We'll also tell you what our coverage plans look like for tonight on Kentuckiana Football Fridays. And we've got volleyball teams moving on to one-game semi-states. We have three teams from Clark and Floyd counties, our immediate area, that are one match, one game away from a state championship appearance in their respective class. We talk some about volleyball. We talk about how good the high school volleyball, the club volleyball is in this area, the number of prospects from this area that go on to play Division I volleyball and college volleyball in general. And when you see three teams in semi-states, basically in the final four of their respective classes, you kind of understand it's pretty good. Used to be the Muncie area was the dominant, and they're still really good. That's where Yorktown, they've had some battles with Providence over the years. Used to be that was the dominant area for volleyball, might still be, but Southern Indiana making a name for itself as well. We'll talk about volleyball and the USA Today college poll, basketball preseason poll came out, the coaches poll that USA Today offers, and there's some interesting results from that related to some of the Big Ten teams. So we'll talk about all of those topics and more in our headlines coming up here in just a few moments. Later in the show, segment two, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is my guest, presented by Coffee Crossing. Jared and I will dive into IU basketball, days away from a closed scrimmage against Loyola Chicago, and less than a week away from the IU University of Southern Indiana exhibition game at Assembly Hall. When we come on next Friday, we'll be talking about what happened in that exhibition game with Indiana. The season will officially, from a fan perspective, be underway, and we'll be often looking ahead to the first non-conference game of the regular season for this Indiana team. So coming up very soon is college basketball. Coming up very soon is IU basketball with that USI exhibition game. We'll have a lot of coverage leading up to that game next week, as you can imagine. That's a look at the guest lineup today, presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mitch in the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I mentioned that the USA Today coaches poll came out, and it really interesting from a Big Ten perspective. There were four Big Ten teams in the top 25, but it's probably not all the teams you think that it maybe should be or will be. Michigan State is number 10 in that USA Today poll voted on by the coaches. Michigan is number 18. No issues. I don't think anybody would have with either of those teams being ranked in those places. Purdue is number 22nd. They've been ranked some other places as well, so you can get that maybe to a certain point, although I don't think they're projected to be the third best team in the Big Ten Conference overall this year. And here's the real surprise. Nebraska is locked in there at the number 25 team, according to the USA Today coaches poll. Big surprise there. I could see Indiana being in that number 25 spot. I could see Indiana being in Purdue's spot at number 22, but I can't see Nebraska, any way you shake it out, being a top 25 team in college basketball. I also can't see Nebraska being a top four team in the Big Ten Conference. Obviously, crazier things have happened, but Nebraska gets a spot that a lot of people, when that came out, had some reaction to that. But again, that's a poll voted on by the coaches in the USA Today. High school football tonight, with IU football and high school football colliding tonight, we've got to make some adjustments with our coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio. So listen intently if you want to take in either or both tonight. IU football will be on the Big X Sports Radio starting at 7 p.m. tonight. IU is at Minnesota. We're going to talk about that game here in just a couple moments as far as the importance for a Friday night game for Indiana to get a win in their quest to be bowl eligible. High school football-wise, on the Big X tonight, the only high school thing you're going to get from 6 to 7 p.m. is our kickoff show, which is an hour-long preview show to get you ready for all the big games on both sides of the river. We have John Spears that's with us to talk Louisville football. We have Greg Mengelt with us tonight to talk Southern Indiana football. Kent Taylor of Wave 3 Sports is always with us as well. That show will air from 6 to 7 tonight here on the Big X and also on, I believe, ESPN 680 across the water as well. We will be, as far as high school football goes, Floyd Central and Bedford is one of our feature games. We'll also be tracking Silver Creek taking on Edgewood. Those play-by-play coverage, all the game night coverage we give you, rotating across the area with scores, and again, a lot of focus on that Floyd Central-Bedford game early, that will be on ESPN 680. You'll have to catch that one on ESPN 680 tonight, and then our scoreboard show will be on following the game as well in Louisville. You'll have to catch it on our sister station there. It will not be on the Big X due to the IU football game. So IU football, 7 o'clock here on the Big X. Kickoff show, 6 o'clock on the Big X. High school football play-by-play tonight and other coverage on ESPN 680. So I hope you'll join me for that on 680. You can flip back and forth or get a dual setup going. Lee Kelly will be with me as well. And it's a sectional football. You never know what can happen. Our goal is to see multiple teams advance on to sectional championship games next week. Let's take a look at the matchups tonight very quickly. Franklin Central is at Jeffersonville tonight. Franklin Central doesn't have a lot of wins on their record, either do the Red Devils, but Franklin Central obviously plays a very tough schedule in Central Indiana. We'll see what type of challenge the Red Devils can put up at home on their home turf tonight. And, of course, they're looking to get a win. If Red Devils get a win, they got to take on Center Grove or Columbus North, which would be a very, very difficult game for a sectional championship next week. So we'll see. Franklin Central probably the favorite in this game. We'll see what Jeffersonville can get done. In 5A, local teams remaining, and that's 5A sectional, would obviously be Floyd Central. Floyd Central taking on Bedford tonight. Winner of that game gets a date next Friday with the winner of Seymour or Columbus East. A lot of people think it's set on a Bedford-Columbus East rematch for the sectional championship next week. Floyd Central tries to spoil that matchup and see how they can play Bedford tonight. Also in 4A, Silver Creek is the local team remaining that we're tracking in that sectional. They've got a very interesting game tonight with Edgewood. The winner of that Edgewood-Silver Creek game gets the winner of East Central and South Dearborn next week. That game, next week, East Central's a power in 4A football. They have won state championships. They have had a great record. They really are a power in 4A football. So Edgewood or Silver Creek, whoever comes out of that other semifinal tonight, likely has a very, very tough challenge on their hands next Friday night. But Silver Creek and Edgewood will have some cut-ins of that game with our coverage on ESPN 680 tonight. We'll see if the Dragons can get it done. I'd call that almost a toss-up game maybe the opportunity to be one of the better games in the area tonight. In 3A, of course, Charlestown was upset, defeated last week by Salem in a bit of a surprising fashion. Semifinals in the local 3A sectional tonight have Brownstown taking on Salem. Lawrenceburg will take on Batesville in the other 3A semifinal as well. In 2A tonight, that's where Providence has a matchup at Perry Central, and the winner of that game will likely get Paoli in the sectional championship game next Friday night. That could be, we don't want to put the cart before the horses here, but that could be a tremendous matchup. Providence and Paoli next week for a 2A sectional championship. Paoli undefeated. They have not lost a game in regular season play and, in, of course, into the first week of sectional play. But likely that could be the championship matchup there. It could be a good one. We'll be paying attention to both of those semifinals tonight. Providence, Perry Central, but also Mitchell Paoli should be a decent game as well. That's a look at the pairings tonight. Again, a little different route for our coverage here on the Big X because of the IU football game, which is just another reason to dislike college football, Big Ten football, IU football on a Friday night. It's reserved, in my opinion, for high school football. It's really reserved for high school sports in general because basketball will take its place here in a few weeks, and I just hate to see a lot of the major conferences going more and more to Friday night games. It seems to take the spotlight in many situations off of where it typically is, and that's the local athletes, the high schools, the rivalries, and especially you get to the playoffs like this in football, more people care about what's going on generally with high school football last week and this week in the area than probably do any other week of the season because it's the tournament. They want to know the scores. They want to know who advances, who represents the local area, how did their former school do, and it's hard to do when you got IU football colliding, conflicting with everything. So it'll be a crazy night, a busy night, but we'll do our best to get as much coverage out your way as possible. Again, don't forget we'll be on ESPN 680 with the bulk of our high school football coverage tonight. We'll remind you of that tonight when we have our kickoff show from 6 to 7 p.m. Speaking of high school sports, exciting day tomorrow for a lot of volleyball teams in the area. We have three teams from Clark and Floyd counties in volleyball semi-states. At Columbus East tomorrow will be a neat opportunity to see Christian Academy play at 1 o'clock. Christian Academy in 2A this year taking on Heritage Christian, and that game will be followed at 3 p.m. by Providence against Avon. That's the 4A semi-state from the south. So Christian Academy fans and Providence fans, I'm sure, will be connecting with each other tomorrow, supporting both of the local programs. Then over at Jasper, Silver Creek will take on Northview in the 3A semi-state game. That's at 6 o'clock. Let's see how many of these classes we can have a local team represent in Clark and Floyd County. Some tough matchups tomorrow for Christian Academy, for Providence, and likewise for Silver Creek as well. We'll see if we can get some to move on to a one-game state championship next week up in Muncie, Indiana. Just a one-game semi-state as well. You got to win one game on Saturday to move on. And we have three local teams that will have the opportunity to do so. IU football at Minnesota tonight. Hoosiers at 4-4 on the season. Indiana looking for its win. They've lost three straight. A competitive game until the very end at Ohio State back on October 6th. And a not-so-good performance October 13th for homecoming against Iowa. Obviously a home game. Just a not good performance in that contest from Indiana, but they bounced right back last week and took Penn State to the wire, losing 33-28. This is a game Indiana tonight at Minnesota has to win to get that fifth win of the regular season. If they can get a victory tonight, Maryland, that's a home game, at Michigan, Purdue, a home game, those are what remain for Indiana to pick up their sixth win. To be quite honest with you, a win at Minnesota tonight, to get win number five, a win against home after a bye week on November 10th against Maryland. I think Indiana football has to get the wins in the next two games for sure to be guaranteed the berth in a college football bowl game this season. At Michigan's going to be tough. It's not impossible with how Indiana has shown they can play at Ohio State for about three quarters and play Penn State at home for basically the entire game. But I wouldn't want to risk it. If you're IU football and Coach Allen going on the road at Michigan looking for your fifth or sixth win of the season. And then you close the season on November 24th against Purdue. That could be a scary movie if Indiana has five wins heading into that game and is looking for their sixth against Purdue. Obviously, Rondale Moore is capable of doing unbelievable things. Purdue, when they get it all going together, is capable of beating Ohio State. And not just beating Ohio State, but embarrassing Ohio State. Would not want to go into a game like that needing that sixth win. Let's see if Indiana can get bowl eligible, can extend their football season, and then you go to Michigan and you try to get an upset and get a seventh win of the season, or you try to beat Purdue at home and get a seventh or eighth win of the season, which would be really neat for this football program. That's a look at the headlines on this Friday program presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights. They'll have the IU football game tonight, obviously, as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk IU basketball and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday show. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is my guest. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Jared, great to have you with me today. We're getting closer and closer to the official start of the college basketball season. No more NBA games for me coming up very soon. And, of course, Thursday night of this coming week, less than a week from where we stand right now, Indiana and USI in an exhibition game to find out what this Hoosier team will look like early in the year. Going to be a lot of fun to preview this first, at least open exhibition game. They'll have a closed scrimmage coming up sooner than that at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. But a lot of anticipation, maybe as much, and we've talked about this some heading into Hoosier Hysteria, but maybe as much anticipation about IU basketball as I can ever remember heading into a season.
Boy, yeah, I agree. I mean, there was obviously a lot of anticipation for that 2012-2013 season. And a lot of anticipation when you go back, you know, to 2008, you know, just the curiosity to see what Eric Gordon would look like in the cream and crimson. But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of curiosity. I think a surprising amount of confidence, really, when you consider, you know, how down Indiana's been the last 2 years, just how mediocre and missing the NCAA tournament. But I think there's just kind of a calm confidence, you know, among fans that really expect the team to be better this year and kind of trust in the direction that it's going in. So, you know, you add all of that up with a lot of really interesting games, you know, on the schedule coming up early, and people are just ready, you know. Plus there's been, you know, almost an extra month, certainly an extra couple of weeks of this off season, just because last season ended so early with the early Big Ten tournament and then not getting any postseason play. So it's just you know, it's kind of one of those things where pretty much everything has come together to make this a season that people are just really looking forward to. And I can't wait for it to tip, because I think we've covered every possible angle there could be until we actually see some games. So I'm glad that that is coming.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing, new edition of the Assembly Call show out. You can find it at assemblycall.com. Jared, I agree with you. It's fun to talk about. We have brought up Romeo Langford in about every single possibility I think you can, on and off the court, as a freshman that hasn't played a college basketball game yet. The next step, obviously, is to see him and Juwan Morgan and the entire team on the floor. That'll give us a lot more to think about, to ask about, to break down. What are you going to be looking for when you tune in to watch Indiana and Southern Indiana play in that exhibition game? What are, obviously, Romeo, how he looks in the rotation, what type of scoring he does, what type of opportunity he gets as a freshman early in this season will be, I know, key for everyone. And, of course, people excited to see Juwan Morgan back for his senior year. But generally about this team, what are a couple burning questions, burning things that you'll be really driven down on, focused in on to watch in that first exhibition game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Romeo's the obvious one, you know, just being able to actually see him out there, you know, playing in a real live competition. That's going to be really interesting to see. But I think, you know, especially in that first exhibition game, and then, you know, certainly through the first two games against Chicago State and Montana State of the regular season, point guard is the big question. And so I think really watching how Devontae plays, watching how Robert Finnessy plays, Al Durham as well, just, you know, what kind of consistency do those guys bring to the table? How, you know, which guy seems to help the offense function better? You know, who's out there with those guys? I think that's such an important question for this season. And, you know, I think every game, it's, that position is going to be under the microscope, not just from fans, but from coaches too. And so I think that's going to be really interesting to watch. I'm also going to be really curious to see, you know, a guy like Zach McRoberts, do we really know what to expect from him on the defensive end? Is he more willing to shoot? Because I think if he is, that's something that I think will manifest itself early in the season, where in opportunities in the past where he was open and he didn't even look to shoot, is he now more ready and willing, you know, to be that catch-and-shoot guy and really be that 3-and-D guy that he can be that would add another element to Indiana's offense? And then, you know, from there it's all about rotation. And I don't think, you know, I think a lot of guys will get a chance to play in the exhibition game and in these first two games. You know, I think we all expect at some point the rotation will go down to, you know, 10, 9, 8 guys, but I think we'll see a lot of guys get an opportunity here early. What do those guys do with it? You know, what does Clifton Moore do, you know, with his opportunities to play? You know, and when Archie goes to the bench, who are the first few guys that he calls? Because I think that'll be a sign of, you know, who is performing the best in practice, and we know how important that is to all coaches, but especially to Archie when it comes to who he's going to play. So, you know, those are some of the things you never want to overreact too much to what you see in exhibition games, but you know, those are really some of the burning questions that I think we'll at least get some insight on. And then obviously those questions will really start being answered when Marquette comes in and Indiana goes on the road to play Arkansas. But I think we'll at least get kind of some hints at what those answers are going to be through these first few games.
We're talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. One of the things that I'm most interesting to see, and you touched on this in your answer, it won't be answered in games 1, 2, 3. It might take much longer than that even to find out some of the rotations. But there are a lot of players. As I talk with guys like you each day on this program, as I read Alex Bozich's in-depth profiles that Inside the Hall has done on every player for the upcoming season in an IU uniform, as you hear things, some things are mentioned on this program, some are not, from sources in Bloomington. There are a number of guys that I think we all expect to get some playing time, that their roles will change or advance from last year. And with that, I think Archie Miller has a challenge to figure out, how do you play these guys? How do you fit them all in? How do you give everybody the opportunity, especially early, to prove themselves and keep everybody happy? And I'm sure that Archie Miller knows and doesn't care that he will not keep everything happy. That's part of the job that comes along with being a Division I basketball head coach. But there are some obvious improvements, like Al Durham and others that come to mind, Justin Smith, that we hear about, where you start counting up numbers of guys and you think, okay, these guys will start for sure, these guys will play for sure, these guys are improved and maybe didn't play as much last year as they might this year. Where are all the minutes going to go? So over the first exhibition game and then, I don't know, the first 5, 6 games of the season, it could still change after that even. It's going to be real interesting to see the playing time distribution that Archie Miller and the coaches split up. Now, some of it's going to take care of itself, obviously, but I'm really curious to see how he's able to split some of this time up and still make it work for the team, obviously, as well. You got to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be one of the most interesting storylines of the season, and Archie clearly is going into the season with his eyes wide open about that, because he's talked about it a ton, about the importance of guys being ready to sacrifice just because of how many, you know, legit Division I players there are. I mean, there's, you know, not everybody is ready to have a starting role, and maybe not everybody is ready to be a rotation player yet. We're going to find out. But there are 14 guys who legitimately deserve scholarships to Indiana to play basketball. You know, 14 legitimate Big Ten players. That hasn't always been the case, you know, especially toward the end of the bench lately. And so, you know, it's, you know, to the extent that it's a problem, it's certainly the type of problem that you would want to have. It's better than the alternative, but it's definitely going to be a challenge. And that's why I think, you know, some of these early games, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how many minutes Archie gives a lot of the guys. You know, does he want to use those games to, you know, keep his, you know, top 7-8 guys out there and start letting them build some chemistry? Or does he want to, you know, go 12 or 13 deep and give a lot of guys time out there on the court? You know, I don't know exactly how he'll approach that, but it's going to be interesting to watch. And then, you know, just interesting to see how, when guys get out there and are playing, how much they match up kind of with what we expect, you know, because a lot of people aren't expecting, you know, maybe Demezi Anderson to have a huge role as a freshman. But what if he has earned time in practice, gets out there and starts knocking down three-pointers in the game? You know, does he play a bigger role? Or is he a guy who redshirts? Like, there's, it just feels like for a lot of those guys, you know, guys like him, guys like Jake Forrester, you know, we really don't know what to expect from them. And we'll see kind of if our assumptions of what their role is going to be matches up with what actually happened. But, you know, for guys like that to earn roles on this team, they're going to have to jump over some, you know, really talented players, even some experienced players. So are they ready to do that? So it's going to be fascinating, but it is nice to have that and to be able to look up and down the roster and see that amount of just ability and, you know, and what you project to be a lot of really useful depth. And, you know, now, you know, it's all theoretical in the offseason. Now we have to see it actually play out, but it's going to be really fascinating to watch and one of the, you know, one of the most interesting subplots of the season.
You bring up a great point there, talking about freshmen. I think everyone knows Romeo as a freshman, but we look at him as a starter, as a key contributor to this team, as one of maybe the top players in college basketball this season, based on all the accolades in the preseason and based on what we know from his high school career. But with the other freshmen, you know, we've had multiple conversations about outside of Romeo, who do you expect to get the most playing time and who do you think's ready for Big Ten basketball out of the 2018 class of freshmen. I kind of forget about a lot of those guys when I'm counting up minutes and counting up positions and counting up guys that are returning players who have made improvements to their bodies and you hear good things about coming out of Bloomington. It'll be really interesting to see, especially early on, which freshmen log any minutes whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, I think Robert Finnessy is the guy, other than Romeo, that seems like the most obvious candidate, just because, I mean, he's obviously very ready, you know, from a maturity standpoint, from a skill standpoint, to step in and play some kind of role. And we know the question mark that is there at the point guard position, so he seems ready to have a role. You know, Race Thompson is another guy. He's a redshirt, but he's still a freshman. And I think having that year, plus just the talent that he has and the size that he has and the opportunity that he'll have with Deron Davis, you know, maybe not fully healthy to start the season, you would expect him to have a role. And I think Jerome Hunter is one of the big wild cards of this season because, you know, I don't know how much he'll be ready to play right now, and none of us know really because we haven't been in there watching practice. It's, you know, trying to project from what we saw of these guys in high school, you know, what we've heard from the coaches and just what we've seen in very short practice snippets. So it's going to be really interesting to see what he does when he gets out there on the court. But I think, you know, his development is going to have a huge impact on the overall rotation, because if you told me right now he'll be starting by the end of the year, I'd be surprised by that, but I wouldn't be shocked just because of the talent that we know he has. You know, and we saw a guy like Justin Smith last year, you know, really kind of struggled to get his footing early on, but then, you know, came back from Christmas break with a, you know, a noticeably different mindset that his coach commented on, and then really became a better player, a more consistent player in the second half of the year. And Jerome Hunter is a guy who was more highly regarded coming out of high school than Justin, and, you know, can do some things, can shoot the ball, can really, you know, can obviously defend in a versatile manner. So he does some things that really could be an asset to this team. So where does, you know, he, you know, his role, I think, could change the most as the season goes along, just as he gets more comfortable. You know, so it's, you know, all of those questions are going to be fascinating to watch play out. And it always is with freshmen, because, you know, you don't want to heap too many expectations on them, and you want to be patient with them, but for them to really get consistent roles on a, you know, on a team like this with a lot of other good players, you know, they're going to have to kind of shorten that learning curve a little bit and really be ready to go for them to be out there consistently.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest, this segment presented each Friday by Coffee Crossing. We talk about the season getting underway next Thursday with the USI exhibition game. Then it's a November 6th game against Chicago State, November 9th against Montana State, and November 14th at Assembly Hall against Marquette. It'll be really interesting to see this team with its returning pieces and its young pieces take on a team the caliber of Marquette right out of the gate, basically.
Yeah, that, you know, we had a question come in before our show last night. What will be the first moment that Indiana fans will overreact to this year? And probably it's the first half against Southern Indiana, just because there's so much anticipation. You know, we're all going to overreact to what we see. But I really think that game against Marquette is where it's going to be, because I think it's the first marquee game. You know, it's at night. The atmosphere at Simon Scott Assembly Hall is going to be crazy. You know, you look at Marquette, that's, you know, you get that win. You know, they're obviously a highly regarded team, a top 30 team. And so I think with all that adrenaline, build-up, enthusiasm, whether Indiana wins it, people are going to be really excited, maybe overly excited. And if Indiana loses it, you know, people are going to be disappointed that they lost a home game and, you know, what's going on. So I kind of look at that game as, you know, just going to be this huge, you know, kind of place where all the adrenaline enthusiasm that we have built up is just going to come pouring out. But it's a big opportunity for this team, a real good measuring stick, you know, after a few games that should be easy victories. You know, a team that's coming in that can really shoot it, you know, that again, is highly regarded coming into the season, and Indiana's going to have to be ready to play and have some kinks worked out. So it's a really big, you know, early opportunity, and that's what's nice about the non-conference schedule as you move to that game and beyond, is there's a lot of really good opportunities against good teams for this team to really measure itself, you know, make some mistakes, learn from them, and get themselves ready for Big Ten play.
Yeah, what a measuring stick that will be. November 14th, Marquette at home, as I mentioned, and then on the road the following game at Arkansas down in Fayetteville, November 18th. A four-day period there with two legitimate caliber, especially Marquette opponents, but our Arkansas on the road, that road side of things adds a lot more intrigue to that game as well. That will be just a tremendous time early on. Again, you don't want to overreact or get too high or too low, but a tremendous point early on in the season to kind of gauge some things for this team, as you mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, we'll learn a lot about where this team is during that four-day stretch. Now, that doesn't mean we'll learn about where they'll be in February. You know, I mean, Indiana could play poorly in both of those games and be struggling and have things totally turned around by February and be on a 10-game winning streak. You know, it's a long season. This is a young team still. I mean, there's some experience there, but there's a lot of young guys working in, so I expect some volatility early. But, you know, those two games present big opportunities because they're the kinds of wins, you know, Marquette, you know, could be a top 25 team. That win will look good even if it's a home game. And anytime you can go on the road and beat another big conference team like Arkansas, that would be big too. So really big opportunities there, and games that, you know, like all the other ones, just can't get here soon enough.
Jared, let's talk some football for just a moment before we let you go. This is a must-win game tonight for Indiana, I think, as far as bowl eligibility goes. Got to get that fifth tonight, maybe even that sixth against Maryland to be locked in for sure before you take on Michigan and Purdue to close the regular season. That said, also a Friday night game. We're gearing up for sectional football tonight. I don't like the feel of Friday night football for the Big Ten Conference and for Indiana.
I don't either. Not at all. I mean, Friday night should be for high school, Saturday is for college, and Sunday is for professional. You know, that's kind of how I grew up, and that's what's always felt right. But as we know, the almighty dollar makes these decisions more than maybe what is in the best interest of the players and the spectators and kind of what's the right thing to do. So that's why we have games like this, and I guess we just have to kind of accept it. But I'm with you. I would much rather kind of have some more clear lines of demarcation between the days. I think that would be better for everybody, except for the TV networks, apparently.
Absolutely. And you agree, this obviously a huge game for Indiana to get a victory before some of the upcoming challenges.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, because Michigan looks really good, and obviously with what Purdue's been doing, I mean, they just look – I mean, that game looks really tough. Now, it's the bucket game, and – you know, the better team, or even the team that's playing better coming into it, doesn't always win that game. We know that. But, you know, if you watch what they did against Ohio State, albeit maybe an overrated Ohio State team, it became a lot harder to visualize that game as a victory. So you better get these two against teams that you're equal to or a little bit better than, you know, and then you roll the dice and maybe you can get one of those other ones and get 7 wins, but they certainly don't look like games that you can count on winning.
Jared Morris with the Assembly Call presented by Coffee Crossing. When you are in downtown New Albany looking for great coffee, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe. They have great coffee, great bread, and pastries as well. Now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Jared, thanks for the chat. When we do this again, we'll be able to talk about actual action that we see on the floor, how many points, how many minutes a player had, and how IU looked. That's going to be a lot of fun to do next Friday with you.
I promise to do my best not to overreact. It's just an exhibition game.
I appreciate it. Jared, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Yep, you too.
We'll head out to a commercial break. Don't forget, Kentuckiana Football Fridays, high school football coverage, 6 o'clock. You can catch the kickoff show right here on the Big X Sports Radio, and then the play-by-play coverage of our broadcast tonight. That's Floyd Central Bedford. We'll also have some coverage from Silver Creek Edgewood and score updates from all sectional games across the area. That will be on ESPN 680. So join us there tonight because IU football on the airwaves here on the Big X starting at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll do our regular high school football programming tonight on ESPN 680. Stay with us. Another segment forthcoming. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join me. We'll talk a little football, a little basketball recruiting, maybe even a little high school basketball with the season forthcoming after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, who is with us Fridays on the Hoosier Report. A ton of stuff to get with Kyle on today. And Kyle, I want to get right to it, talking about a neat story. I almost look forward to this every year. The Indianapolis Star puts together some really good pieces. The listing of Division I players from the state of Indiana that play college basketball. I'm always intrigued to see how many programs, what high school programs have the most in the Division I ranks this season, and just generally how many come from the Hoosier State to play at some level of Division I basketball, and it's absolutely amazing. I think there were 140-something this year from the Hoosier State. We talked about this earlier this week on the program, but an unbelievable number, 140-something players from Indiana high schools playing Division I basketball this season. Unbelievable, Kyle.
Yeah, I always have a good time, you know, rolling through that list and seeing, you know, names that you kind of, you know, you sort of remember, but you forget where they're at, or that, you know, they may have transferred, or, you know, they were a good player in high school, but, you know, now they've blossomed at a, you know, maybe a smaller Division One, or have transferred up to Division One. So, you know, that's a kind of been a project of my boss, Matt Glenesk. He does that. You know, he's been doing it, I think, for 4 or 5 years, and you know, it's always a fun list. You know, you have the guys, of course, and he puts together the list of, you know, basically a first team, and then on down, I think, through three teams, and then there's an entire listing of guys, like I mentioned. But, you know, I always, you know, it's fun to see guys like, you know, I remember when Dylan Windler, who played at Perry Meridian, was coming through, and I remember watching him as a junior, and you're kind of like, and he played for Indiana Elite, but he'd never been like a guy who focused only on basketball. He was a really good golfer as well. And then you saw him play with Indiana Elite, and it was like, man, this guy's really, really intriguing. And then saw him in the high school season with Perry Meridian. He was basically the only, you know, real, you know, Division I type of talent that team had. And they went up against, you know, they're playing in the section with Pike and Ben Davis and those guys. And they never made it very far, but, you know, to see what he's doing now, and he found a perfect spot at Belmont. You know, he's a preseason, you know, player of the year in the Ohio Valley Conference, and, you know, just doing great things, and he was always a fun guy to cover. Or then you got a guy like, you know, Eugene German, who went to Northern Illinois. And if you remember back, you know, at the time, Charlie Hall, you know, saw him at the, you know, the, basically the top 60, and, you know, he really shined there. And it's like, how do you leave this guy off the team? And, you know, played at Gary 21st Century, which not a, you know, not a super well-known program. It's a good program, a good small school program, but he's absolutely lighting it on fire at Northern Illinois. Kind of thought he would after watching him in the Indiana All-Stars. I think most people thought who watched him, like, this guy is going to be a player. You know, he really shined in the Indiana All-Stars that year, 2016, and he's gone on to have a really good career. He's going to have even more accolades this year, I think. So, you know, then you can go down the list, you know, Nike Sabande and Ryan Wellage and, you know, guys like that that you see are really starting to shine. Darian Ringo, who was a good player at Brownsburg, not a guy who was big time or anything, and he's going to play with Jack Owens at Miami of Ohio and is having a great start to his career there. So, you know, I could go on and on all day about all these guys, but it's been really neat, you know, to see, you know, because you do kind of forget, and then you can kind of recalibrate when Matt does this list and kind of remember how lucky we are, you know, to be able to cover all these guys, because, you know, they are ready made in a lot of ways when they get to college. And that's a credit to the state of Indiana, the high school coaches, the guys who have these guys ready to go. And you know, it really shows you again that high school basketball is a great thing in our state and you know, a lot of fun to, even if you don't follow these guys day in, day out, to kind of see where they're at now.
Kyle Nedenrip with the Indianapolis Star, our guest. Kyle, always with me on Fridays. Interesting decision from one of the young players that we really hadn't had the opportunity yet to talk much about. His name had come up a few times, DeAndre Davis from Lawrence Central, a junior. He made a commitment over the weekend, last weekend, when he was on an unofficial visit to Nebraska there for one of their football games. A player that was beginning to get the attention, the recruitment of more schools, maybe a little bit more serious than what it was a few months ago. I think Indiana was one of a number of schools that had been checking in with him. Obviously an in-state player, someone gaining some popularity in what their skills could be for the next level. He commits early, and you don't always see that, especially when a player is kind of beginning to become a hot prospect and beginning to become much more of a interesting name to college coaches than he was a few months ago. You had a story that explained the commitment a little bit more. People can read that at indystar.com/sports, but definitely a little caught off guard when I saw your tweet over the weekend that DeAndre Davis had committed to Nebraska.
Yeah, I was too, a little bit, as far as the timing of it. You know, the fact that he had interest. He didn't have Power Five offers outside of Nebraska, but it's early still, you know, and he's only going to be a junior. He is a junior now, I guess, as we're into the school year, but still 2 years of high school left. You know, usually the summer, you know, before your senior year is a big recruiting year for guys, especially like him, who are kind of maybe on the brink of getting more big time offers. So, you know, I kind of asked, you know, DeAndre, you know, about that and why, you know, basically why now, you know, and what made this a situation where, you know, you felt like it was time and this is the right place. And he kind of explained that, you know, once he got out there, he'd been there once before, which I think is important. It wasn't his first trip there. So he did have some familiarity with being at Nebraska, you know, knowing, you know, a little bit about their program. Michael Lewis, of course, is a big deal as far as this recruitment goes. Of course, played at Indiana. He's a Jasper native. Developed a pretty quick friendship relationship with DeAndre and his family. You know, I did talk to DeAndre's dad earlier this summer, and you know, at that time, Southern Illinois had been in on DeAndre from the very beginning. That's a program they liked a lot. Barry Henson, the coach there, had done a great job of recruiting him already. So they were going to be, you know, whatever the final list for him, you know, even though they're a mid-major, he really likes Southern Illinois. But Nebraska, they came in a little bit later in the summer. And once he got out there, you know, he felt like, you know, the first trip, he really liked it for their elite camp, then went back out there, kind of confirmed to him what he already thought. You know, and I guess, he, you know, from his perspective, he had that feeling like there's nowhere else I'd want to be no matter what. And I did ask him, you know, what if Indiana, Purdue, you know, you hear that there's interest there, you hear that there's a potential offer there. And he said that this, you know, when I talked to him, that that wouldn't matter to him, that he feels that strongly about Nebraska and, you know, what they have coming. And, you know, Matt, if you do look at it, Nebraska is a top 25 team going into the year. I think they're ranked right at the tail end of the top 25, you know, going into this season. They have a great fan base. They're in the Big Ten, so you are coming back here to play, you know, in your home state, you know, at least a couple times, you know, during his career. They don't necessarily go to Indiana and Purdue every year, but you will play them, you know, on occasion back here. So, you know, there's a lot of things I think to like in his situation, and it did catch me off guard a little bit too, but after talking to him, it makes more sense, I think, now. And he does have an uncle who went to Nebraska Omaha too and played there just a few years ago, so there is some, probably a little bit more familiarity with that area than you know kind of from the outside looking in. So he is sounds to me like fully on board with this decision, and I think he can chalk one up to Michael Lewis, especially in this case, for getting Davis to commit.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, talking DeAndre Davis committing to Nebraska last weekend. Let's switch and finish up with high school football. 6A class, the biggest class in the state. They had a break last week. They'll enter their sectional playoffs tonight with the semifinal round in those four-team sectionals, which means locally Jeffersonville takes on Franklin Central. Also a lot of good semifinal matchups across the state in other classes as well. You get the opportunity to, I think, see a good one. Warren Central and Ben Davis, am I correct that they play tonight in a 6A semifinal?
They do play. I'm actually going to be at Zionsville and New Pal tonight, though, in the 5A sectional there. Warren Central, that one, it's hard to read because Ben Davis, they crushed them pretty good earlier this year. But Ben Davis is the, you know, defending state champs. They've kind of changed their offense a little bit, where Delbert Mims, their running back who's going to Vanderbilt, has been playing quarterback, and they're kind of running a wildcat system and just basically letting him run and find his lanes. And so I'm sure they'll mix it up a little bit on offense. I think the only way to beat Warren is to try to control the clock, and I think that's what they will try to do in that game. But yeah, I'm going to go see New Pal. They're ranked number one. But Zionsville, you know, they play a schedule that is almost all 6A teams, and they're a 5A program. So, you know, they'll be ready. I don't know that anybody, you know, can stop New Pal's offense the way they've been running the ball with Charlie Spiegel this year. They beat some really good teams, including Center Grove, earlier this year. But Zionsville did beat them in the sectional last year on a last-second field goal. So, you know, kind of a chance for revenge for New Pal, and I think a chance to see, you know, I guess my storyline going into it is, hey, can they beat a team that basically plays 6A teams all year and is definitely going to be ready for them from a talent standpoint. So, and they do throw the ball really well, the best passing team that New Pal's faced this year. So can they handle that athleticism in the secondary? So that should be a really fun game. Looking forward to seeing that one. And, you know, there are, like you mentioned, a lot of really good sectional semifinal games, and then I think it sets up next week one of the best nights of the week in high school football, sectional championship night. So that should be a lot of fun next Friday.
Kyle Nedrip with the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, as we get deeper and deeper into the high school football tournament, you know that means that the basketball season is getting closer and closer. I'm already excited for it. We've started talking this past week about some of the top teams and programs in far southern Indiana. We had Joe Luce on from Jeffersonville yesterday. We'll be talking to high school basketball coaches more and more as we get closer to that time of year. But I know from a statewide perspective, you're kind of thinking ahead on that sort of thing already. And I think we're in for another good year generally of high school basketball, not just here in southern Indiana, but across the state.
Yeah, I agree. I'm starting to get into our previews here locally, and you know, you look at the MIC conference just alone and how many good teams you've got coming back. You know, two of those teams were in the state championship last year, and both should be really good again. And then you add Center Grove to that mix with they could be the best team in that conference. And you know, I think teams like Brownsburg is going to be really good. And I just kind of go down the list, and I'm like, man, I think this year might be even better, you know, than last year, even though you lose guys statewide like Romeo. But, you know, that I think, you know, it's going to be a really a good year across the board. I think there's a lot of different areas of the state, too, that are going to have good representation, including a team like Westview, who's coming down for the Hall of Fame Classic. And I think there's just a lot of good storylines, as usual, and, of course, more stories. And, you know, I start to write down lists of story ideas, and you never get to them all, but that's a good problem to have, I think.
Absolutely. Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, enjoy football tonight. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up again next week.
All right. Thanks so much, Matt.
That will wrap things up for this Friday program, also for the week as well. Don't forget, we do this each weekday, 11 a.m. It's complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. If you missed the show this week, plenty of ways to catch up. We're on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts, two free apps that you can download, or you should already have, hopefully, or you can point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. High school football tonight on the Big X. We've got the pregame show, the kickoff show beginning at 6 o'clock. We'll have that from 6 to 7. And then, of course, play-by-play coverage of Floyd Central Bedford. We'll also have some updates and play-by-play from the Silver Creek Edgewood game. I'll have call-in reports. I'll give you constant scores from all the local sectional semifinal games. But tonight, that is on ESPN 680 due to the IU at Minnesota football game, which comes on at 7 o'clock once we get done with the kickoff show here on the Big X Sports Radio. I know it's confusing, but we got a lot of content coming your way between IU football and high school football tonight. Don't forget, IU football at 7 here on the Big X, high school football on 680, ESPN 680 tonight. So make sure you join Lee Kelly and I for that. I'll be back at 6 o'clock as well for the kickoff show. That will be aired here on the Big X Sports Radio, so please make plans to join us for that as we get you ready for all the big football games tonight. Have a great weekend. I'll talk with you soon right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.